go to take shelter. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Day for you. Sham, auspiciousness. Vidasyati, certainly will perform. Translation. Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantarattama, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief, for this Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable, even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Text 60. Thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, the Vasamuni went to Vaikuntadham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. The Vasamuni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan, his body trembling as he spoke as follows. O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. Text 63. The Supreme Personality of God had said to the Brahmin, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Purport by His Divine Grace. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is Anya Bilashita Shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chaniyai Vaishnava Seva Distara Payachikima. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bhaktar Parakamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Thus he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura therefore says, Yashyat Prashada, Bhagavat Prashada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So they gave us all these verses. In reality, every verse could be it could be a class on every verse. This is a very this is enough transcendental knowledge here to go back home, back to Godhead. And that's probably much thing. Whatever purport, half a purport, one line, all of these are really enough to go back home, back to Godhead if we take them seriously. Srila Prabhupada has given us everything, and we're devotees of this great personality. Our disciplic succession is such a wonderful thing. Bhakti Siddhanta, he wrote a beautiful song about the whole disciplic succession. And Shivaram Swami sings, and it's very, very ecstatic. As you go through this disciplic succession, there's so many unbelievable personalities, great personalities, amazing personalities. So we just have to become servant of the servant. That's our only business, because we have no other position either. There's no other position. There's no other position for anyone. What to speak of living entities in the middle of this Kali Yuga, United States? I mean, really, what is the hope for anyone except to follow this process of Krishna consciousness? We see here even Lord Shiva. He's saying we're covered by the illusory energy of Vishnu, and we can't understand how extensive this universe is. So everything is so extensive, infinite, inconceivable, chitcha. This is the position. So as devotees, we're just trying to remain, we're trying to become humble. This is not such an easy thing, becoming humble. This humility is very important in making any advancement in Krishna consciousness. This complete humility is the goal. Because complete humility, Sanatana Goswami is explaining that this utter humility is the same as Krishna prema. And it's very difficult to understand utter humility, because it's the same as Krishna prema. You can't understand. Sanatana Goswami is explaining that you can't have one without the other. That in order to understand what utter humility is, you have to have love of God. And to understand what love of God is, you have to have utter humility. So, our spiritual master has given us the process for attaining this. This sadhana bhakti is perfect. If one does this, he's a pure devotee. If one follows the instructions of a pure devotee, he becomes gradually a purified devotee. And if one is following the instructions, he's in the shower. He's taking that bath. I mean, if you get out of the shower, somebody may chastise you. You fool, you're not clean yet. Get back in the shower. But if you're in the shower, no one's going to go into the shower and say, "What's wrong with you? You're still there." No, you wait till he finishes the shower. So as long as we're under the regulations of the bona fide spiritual master and engaging in this process, that's the goal, and that's the process to attain the goal. And here, Prabhupada said that. Actually, Krishna says that he's the property of his pure devotees. And even the devotees of the pure devotee are very dear to him. So who can be more fortunate than the people that are picked up by Srila Prabhupada? It's not possible to become more fortunate. Be nice if we remember that all the time, how fortunate we are, but that's another problem, that we're jiva. We're small, we're forgetful living entities. We don't remember our position, we don't remember really anything. So the process of Krishna consciousness is established so that we might gradually come to the platform. This Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, this is all given by the great devotees. We cannot neglect any of it. As soon as we neglect, then it becomes difficult. It becomes very difficult. It becomes, sometimes it becomes ugly on the fringe. On the fringe of ISKCON, it gets a little bit ugly. So we all know that. So how to stay properly engaged. This is why we study books like the Nectar of Devotion and why we read the books. It's a very heavy process. Srila Prabhupada has given us pure love of God from this process. It's not a simple thing. So at least we have to follow the basics. This will bring us to that level. Otherwise, we'll be bewildered. The illusory energy is very powerful. It can easily bewilder everyone. It's not a mistake that we're here in this material world. We wanted to be here. We have so many material desires. These gradually have to be given up. And we can see that it's not... most people, how many people are doing this process? There's 6-7 billion human beings on the planet, and there's only a handful of us that are fortunate enough to be engaged in it. So that great fortune, that Bhagyava Jiva, Pramanda, Brahmate, Konya, Bhagyava Jiva, Guru, Krishna, Prasade, Pai, Bhakti, Latami. So this great fortune, we're wandering. We don't even know where we're wandering. Everyone's just wandering. Just look around. You can see they're wandering. They have no idea where they're going, why they're going there. And these material propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, even the animals are doing that. Even the pigs, the hogs, the dogs, they're all engaged in the same activity of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what's the difference between the hog life, the dog life, and the devotee life? The difference is that the devotee is serving Krishna, and he's serving under regulation. Even the pure devotees, they keep following the process. They don't give up the process because they're setting an example also. How can you ask someone to do something if you're not doing it yourself? They have that one story where the mother wants the saint to tell the child to stop eating so much sweets. So he said, come back in a week. She was, why do I have to come? Anyway, she came in back in a week and she said, why did you have me come back in a week? He said, he told the child, okay, stop eating sweets. He said, why did you make me come a week for that? He said, well, because until last week I was eating so many sweets. So if we don't, anyway, that's what's so wonderful about Srila Prabhupada. He was perfectly following the process and then giving us the process. And so were all the Goswamis, and so was Shukadev and Vyasadev. These are very exalted personalities that Prabhupada's introducing us. He's introducing the whole world to these personalities. Nobody ever heard of them previously, maybe in a little... been in India, but otherwise they haven't heard of these personalities. Now if you go on the internet, you'll see everyone has thousands of hits. If you go Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you'll see thousands of pages of information about him. And all you know, there's like hundreds of thousands of pictures of Srila Prabhupada on the... So all these items, the material world, they're all meant to be used in Krishna's service and then to become spiritualized. Actually, it's all spiritual energy, but we're using it in the misusing it, so it becomes material. So the mind, the senses, the intelligence, if they're used in Krishna's service, then they can all be spiritualized. And just like Brahmanda Brahmate Konya, we're traveling all of these universes, our mind's taking us there, right? The mano ratena, the chariot of the mind. So if the mind is fixed up on Krishna, Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto that the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the mind is carrying us to our next body. And if we purify ourselves, the mind, the purified mind, will carry us to our next body, a spiritual body. It's very important to read Srila Prabhupada's books, because otherwise, I mean, sometimes it's painful because he's pointing out, see, this is tough love sometimes. It's very, it's nectar, but he's also, you know, if you're not doing that, then it's a little painful. There's prohibitions. Prabhupada was saying, I was just reading, I was going, he was relaxing with some of his devotees one night, and he was in a good mood, and he was telling the devotees, very jovial mood, he was telling the devotees that when he first came, he was saying, no, none of this, no this, none of that, don't do this. He was saying, 98% no. I was thinking, who would ever take to this process? But then somehow or other we did. But so many restrictions. So if you read the books, you know, especially Nectar Devotion, you read the books, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, God, I'm not supposed to do this. But it's not for your detriment. It's for your benefit. All these things are not really that enjoyable. The material world is overrated. It's not enjoyable. And we were talking about happiness. It may be happiness, but it's a happiness that is going to end. And it's not a very good happiness. And a lot of the fun. One sannyasi used to call the so-called fun we have in the material world stinky fun. Fun that stinks. It's not that much fun. This is real fun, is to become a Krishna conscious devotee and follow these programs that Prabhupada has given us. And these programs are... the kind of false ego free. Mangal Arti, Japa. Ideally, if we follow properly, you know, Bhagavatam class. And we used to had a program. We'd go out all day, but someone say, that reminds me here, they gave me a note. Please remember Harinam, 5 p.m. tonight, meet at the Krishna house. Ratiyatra Sunday, bus leaves 8:30, returns 6:30 p.m. to temple. So that's the note that they had to me. So this Krishna consciousness movement is so sublime, but it's subtle. It's subtle. The pleasure is subtle. It's not the gross pleasure. It's not like Prabhupada listened to a lecture. I never heard this lecture before, but he was talking about how they like fried chicken. Karmis like fried chicken. And he said, and stick. And they said, he said, what's that? Stick? And they said, Srila Prabhupada, steak. He said, oh, spell that. S-T-E-A-K. Oh, steak. Yeah, we give sweet ball. We give sweet ball. All the devotees were laughing. We give sweet ball to take the place of these things. So, we have so much, everything is so nice in Krishna consciousness, but it's higher taste than what we learned in the material world. We've learned to accept the pig enjoyment and the hog enjoyment and the dog enjoyment as the higher taste. So, somehow or other, we have to give that all up and come to Krishna consciousness. And there's so many books to read. It's unlimited. There's not enough lifetimes to read all these books of Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada has recommended some other books that are very important to the Vaishnava line. So all these books are giving us more and more knowledge, more and more information. And Krishna is in every word, every page. And the more we take shelter of Krishna, we'll gradually begin to feel like we have some connection with Krishna, bit by bit. And it's a nice place. Krishna has a nice world. It's not this world where you love someone and then they die. It's not like that. And mostly it doesn't even last till death. But let's say one is fortunate enough. One time I had a lady in a taxi cab. I used to drive taxi cab. Anyway, she loved her husband. She was going on and on about her husband, how much she loved him. But what happened was, for a while in Jacksonville, people were throwing big rocks off the overhead on the interstate highway. And one of these rocks happened to hit her husband's car and kill him. So she was so much in love with him, but somehow or other had to be separated. This is so sad. The material world is so sad. But we can't deny that that's the situation. Even if you like it here, even if you like it in the material world, you have to get out. And who's fortunate enough? Who's pious enough that the material world is pleasurable, especially here in Kali Yuga? There's not too many people situated in the mode of goodness. Even the big scholars in the Western world, they're not in the mode of goodness. It's complete illusion. They're in ignorance. If you had some big, Vedic scholar, maybe he's there in the mode of goodness. But the scholars, they're all meat eaters, gamblers, sex mongers, like that. Even if you're pretty advanced and you just want liberation, that's considered insignificant by Vaishnavas. Liberation is nothing compared to the pleasure of dealing with Krishna in the spiritual world. So serving Krishna's devotee in this world, if we do it properly, this is Vaikuntha. This is the spiritual world. We're just not doing it properly. But if we serve the pure devotee properly, it is Vaikuntha. Even if there's difficulty, so we take shelter of the holy name. That's our only business. And no matter what else, we can always take shelter. Say we're really annoyed, so we can look at Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, this material world is so annoying. Let me go meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Let me chant the holy names of the Lord. Let me study Srila Prabhupada's books. We have some outlet. Otherwise, there's nothing but false ego in this world. Malice. You start off malicious. Prabhupada said malice starts at the top, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's a lot of... Everyone's a little malicious in this world. That's what we're trying to become purified from. So here, Durvasa knew he committed a big offense. This is very advanced. He actually knew he committed a big offense. Of course, it was a pretty big offense. He threw a hare and it became a giant demon who was going to kill us. So this isn't your ordinary little offense. This is a big, big offense. And he really understood that he had committed a big offense when the Sudarshan Chakra started chasing him. So here he's preaching to Krishna that he's explaining to Krishna how he can do everything and he can even save a person who's fit for going to hell. And he can deliver that person simply by giving him the holy name of your lordship. So he's hoping against hope that he can end it here with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, that doesn't work. So Krishna explains that he can't really help him either. That he has to go. But I was just thinking, it's very nice to know when you commit an offense and then you beg forgiveness from a devotee, and generally they will forgive. But if you don't ask, it's just like Krishna. If you ask for his help, he'll lead you to this Krishna consciousness movement. He'll introduce you to a pure devotee. He'll introduce you to the devotees of the pure devotee, like that. He will definitely do that if you ask for his help. And if you, you've done so many sins. If you beg forgiveness for, you did so many sinful activities. Of course, you don't even know your sinful activities. But somehow or other, if you get some realization that you did a lot of sinful activities, and then you beg forgiveness, so Krishna will lead you to his pure devotee. But the trouble is, no one even thinks they're doing anything wrong. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. We always quote that thing about 50 billion animals are being killed every year. And no one thinks, why are we suffering? We don't do anything wrong. Why are we suffering so much? We never do anything wrong. So, this is complete illusion. So it's a good thing when we know we don't do something wrong and then we ask forgiveness. So the point was that you even have to ask forgiveness from God. You have to ask Him, then He helps you. So similarly, you can't just think, oh, these devotees, they should be more advanced. Even if I commit an offense against them, they should be advanced enough that they don't find fault with me. No, it does not like that. You can't think like that. I mean, maybe no one thinks like that. But sometimes when I'm having an argument with myself, I come up with that might be what a person's thinking, you know. Now maybe, actually the rascal mind can think of anything. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta says you beat the mind 1,000 times when you wake up in the morning and 1,000 times at night when you go to sleep. You beat it with a stick and a broom. Sometimes devotees argue which one's in the morning, which one's at night, but you probably can interchange. And not that we're just beating other people, we're beating ourselves. Some people say, what was one devotee was saying, I don't like when they quote Prabhupada to beat you. But the person is quoting Prabhupada, maybe he's doing it to beat himself. We don't know why devotees, you know, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not just quoting Shastra to disturb others. He might be doing it to disturb himself. In other words, we don't want to be too comfortable in this material world. This is a joke. How can you be comfortable in a place like this, you know? Relax, be comfortable. Get some of that honey. You know that story about the honey? The guy's being chased by a tiger, I think. And then he jumps in this well. And he just grabs. He has this little rope that he grabbed onto. And at the bottom of the well is an alligator, crocodile, just ready to get him. And the string is actually like time. It's gradually slipping. The string is falling apart. But so he's standing, he's in a very precarious position. There's a lion waiting for at the top of the well. There's an alligator at the bottom of the well. The rope is breaking. And then there's a tree. And it's dripping some honey. And he's like close to enough. And so he's trying to get the honey as it drips out. And I've personally seen this too. One time they caught, I don't condone it. But somehow or other, someone was using a mouse trap in the temple. And they put ghee wicks in, and they caught this mouse. And the mouse was, he's going to die, right, really soon. But still he was trying to enjoy the butter off the ghee wick. So this is practical in the material world. Everyone's like that. So yeah, we shouldn't become too comfortable. I know myself, I'm always trying to be comfortable, but there's no comfortable. It doesn't exist. Comfortable. Anyway, I won't beat my head anymore. Is there any comments or questions?
Haribol.
Haribol.
A little comment and a quick question. The analogy you were given, at the bottom of the well was a poisonous snake.
Oh, was it poisonous snake?
Vidura was explained.
This is another incarnation, but it was a.
Vidura was explained to the Sarasta about this material world. And the string he was holding onto was a vine. And there was some black and white rat nibbling at the string.
Man.
But the black and white rat, that's day and night, you see? And it's cutting away the string. And so he was saying everyone
even
is
more.
So that's the analogy, really. Why didn't the Lord just finish Durvasa Muni, since since he's constantly given trouble to the devotees, why you think he didn't do that?
The Lord is so kind to everyone. Of course, finishing him is also kind, but for the sake of this, he's showing in this pastime that if you go to the devotee is even kinder than the Lord. He won't take offense. Whereas the Lord is kind, it's placed in the Bhagavad Gita. People might not be under the... But the material platform, you can't understand Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada's explaining in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna's, you know, someone may say, well, Krishna's not kind to the demons because he puts them into these bad... But he said, no, but Krishna's actually kind because sometimes he kills them. So you have to understand, this is kind, if Krishna killed them, that would also be kind. But here he's showing an example of how if you go back to the devotee, you wouldn't even get killed. You'll become a good devotee. I think the Vasa is a good devotee, right? Now, I think he learned his lesson along the way, as far as I know. Yeah?
Also, we see with Lord Chaitanya that he killed the mentality. So Krishna,
Lord Chaitanya killed the mentality, right?
So in this same situation, we can see that the mentality was changed. And by the association of devotees, his heart was also changed, because in the purport there, it also mentioned about if you serve the servant of the devotee. Krishna says that when you have no more material desires, then Krishna, he's controlled by that devotee who has no material
desires. Yeah, he's under the control of my devotee. What was the point you were making before?
He kills the mentality.
What I was going to make the point. Okay, we're going to see now. Let's see. His mentality here isn't quite good enough, because he's telling Krishna what Krishna should do. I don't know if everyone noticed that. I just happened to notice that while I was reading it. He's saying, Krishna, you're so merciful. Now you have to give me the holy name and forgive me. But you can't order Krishna. Krishna has his own plan. So Krishna's plan was to glorify his devotee, Ambarish Maharaj, who was practicing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. He was practicing all the methods of devotional service. So this is very good. Of course, we heard in the morning that Shravanam, Kirtanam are the most important, or the main. But all these processes, like we have the deities here, like I said, sometimes it's very, the mind is rascal, but you can always meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. And if you can't do it, you can always do something. You can always do something in Krishna consciousness if you're thinking of Krishna. Krishna will give you some good idea what to do. And one other thing, I had another point. That's the analogy there. But sometimes in other yugas, there's other analogies. Never know. One instance of that, the reason why I bring that up, because I was thinking about something like that. Krishna usually... We know that Krishna killed the Aristasura demon, right? And the Keshi demon. So in Krishna Leela, Krishna killed them. But in another pastime of Krishna, in another place, Krishna didn't kill them. Krishna took the Keshi demon, according to Sanatana Goswami, Krishna took the Keshi demon and he saddled him. He broke him. You have to break a horse from his wild tendencies. And he taught him to be a good horse. And then Keshi was giving pony rides to the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. And also, right soon after that, Krishna killed the Aristasura. So the Aristasura was also, no, he didn't kill him. Krishna, put him on a, you know, he put the chain in his nose, I guess, and put him to the oxycar. And then the Aristasura was giving rides to all the devotees. Just like we heard that story, how Kali, a serpent, in one pastime, he was also giving rides to the devotees. So in that way, Krishna's pastimes are completely unlimited. In different ages, they're slightly different. Krishna has so many pastimes. And when we go back to the spiritual world, I say to Prabhupada, what the devotee was saying, some silly thing about it, is it like this in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada looked at him, he said, if you want to know, why don't you go there? So Krishna, when you go there, this is also being explained. I said, this is so sweet. I mean, you have to read the whole thing, but it's when you go there, when you finally go back to Godhead after traveling around. Even when you become purified, sometimes you stay. You have to go even purified more and more and more until you can go back to Goloka. Like Prabhupada told us, we take birth in the planet where Krishna's having his pastimes, and we get trained up more and more. And even in the spiritual world, you get trained up more and more. So when you go there, you know, Krishna, it's been so long. And Krishna's, you know, you're waiting. You're waiting there for Krishna to come back from the fields. He's out on the fields in Goloka Vrindavan. And actually, Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula Vrindavan are basically doing the same activities. After a while, the devotee forgot whether he was in Goloka or Gokula, because the same activities are going on. Anyway, they're waiting for Krishna to come back from the fields, and he hasn't seen Krishna for a very long time since he came to the material world, which is only a moment in a sense, but it's actually trillions and trillions of years. So anyway, Krishna's coming back from the forest, and he sees Krishna. And Krishna starts running towards his devotee. And the devotee faints, seeing Krishna running towards him. How kind is that? The Supreme Lord is running towards him. Anyway, the devotee faints. And Krishna, also by the time he gets to the devotee, he's so overwhelmed with happiness that Krishna faints on top of the devotee. So then after a while he comes to, and Krishna welcomes him to the spiritual world. These very sweet words. He speaks so many sweet words. And then they go to the Jamuna River and they take bath before lunch prasadam. And he tells one of the other devotees, oh, he's a new man. You stay with him and show him how we deal here. So that's Sanatana's version of how the living entity goes back home, back to Godhead. And Sanatana Goswami's eternal maidservant of Lalita, I think. So it's a nice place, the spiritual world. Any other comments or questions? Yes, without one.
I was thinking also there's this verse, I don't remember exactly, but it was something like, Krishna saying, he says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. He says he's a devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So that seems like that would have fit in with this, the way that they explained it, I think, in this purport here that you're reading, that he says that that's...
Gopi Bhatta Parakamalaya Dasa Dasa Anata. And Lord Chaitanya says the same thing. He says, I am not a Brahmin. So then what are you? He says, Chaitanya Radasa Muri, Tantra Dasa Muri, Tantra Dasa. I am a servant. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, anyway, I messed that up. But anyway, we say that. Kaviraj Goswami says that. And I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya, and a servant of his servants. So we want to become servants of Srila Prabhupada's servants. And that would be a very nice thing. And that's how we serve, by becoming Krishna conscious. If we become Krishna conscious, then we're really serving. Better than opening up millions of hospitals, Bhakti Siddhanta said, is for someone to become a pure devotee of the Lord. This is better work than opening up millions and millions of hospitals. Because the hospitals will all fill up. The material world's a sick place. Everyone's sick. There's no one who's not sick. People think we're crazy sometimes, but who is really crazy? You know, Prabhupada wrote that book, Who is Crazy? Everyone's crazy besides the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada.